Okay. This week's Torah portion, Tzav. Tzav has two meanings. Tzav means alacrity. Tzav literally means to command. But the Torah uses the word commandment. The Talmud says it means Hashem wants to encourage us to immediately be excited, and also in future generations that they should also continue whatever Hashem has commanded. But the Talmud also says that Tzav is the numerical equivalent. Tzav is about idolatry. Tzav is about idolatry. So how is Tzav about idolatry? Is it about us serving Hashem with alacrity, or is it about idolatry? So the word Tzav is numerical equivalent to the words Kael Adonai. Adonai, the two names of Hashem. Kael is 31, and Adonai is 65. Together they equal Tzav, which is 96. So the names Adonai and Kael are about Hashem's light being limited and contracted until it descends into the various things in this world. Kael Adonai are names of Hashem that contract His light, that hide His light. So in the divine source of things, Kael Adonai are holy names of Hashem. But what happens is because Hashem's light gets concealed and hidden, that can lead a person to make a mistake and think there's some other force besides Hashem. So the purpose of why there is idolatry in the world is only in order that there should be teshuvah. A Jew should return to Hashem. When a Jew returns to Hashem, then Hashem listens to him in a way that's even beyond the way Hashem listens to a tzaddik. It says that when a tzaddik makes a decree, Hashem fulfills the decree of a tzaddik. And even if Hashem has made a decree, the tzaddik can nullify the decree. And every Jew is called a tzaddik. But when a person returns to Hashem after making a mistake, then he's in the level of a baal teshuva. And a baal teshuva, someone who returns to Hashem, is even greater than a tzaddik. And he has a power with his decisions, with his requests of Hashem, to cause incredible things to happen. So how does he reach that level of teshuva? It's through first making mistakes. That's why on the surface, tzav is a positive thing, although it is about idolatry as well, because the purpose of why Hashem causes a contraction of his light and that can lead a situation where a person can make a mistake is only in order for a person to reach a higher level through teshuva. So, but what this message for us more importantly is not just about the power of teshuva, but also that a Jew is not meant to serve avodah zarah. A Jew is not meant to serve idolatry in the simple sense, but also the Baal HaTurim says when Hashem calls the Jewish people a kingdom of Kohanim, he said that the Jewish people, every Jew is like a Kohen Gadol. Every Jew is above nature. And therefore, every Jew has the ability to, every Jew has to look at himself as not being bound by the laws of nature, not being limited to the world. Yes, Hashem wants to elevate all the sparks of holiness in the world, but a Jew could do that without any effort. A Jew has to look at himself that in the Megillah we're called Yehudim. Yehudim means someone who denies idolatry. Idolatry doesn't only mean that you don't believe in idols. It means you don't believe in anything other than Hashem. You don't ascribe any force or any existence to anything else other than Hashem. When it says that Mordechai didn't bow or bend for Haman, it doesn't just mean he didn't bow to Haman. He didn't consider Haman's existence or any existence other than the desire of Hashem to be real. All that's real is Hashem's desire. That's Adal Yoda, to go beyond logic and reason in your service of Hashem. You don't think of anything as having importance. That's why the Torah tells us that these holy names of Hashem are connected to idolatry. What that means is that a Jew is meant to realize that he is above all the contractions and concealments of Hashem's name, and he has to look at the world that all there is the desire, all there is Hashem. As the Baal Shem Tov said, that a Jew can cross an ocean with a handkerchief, with a munah. With a handkerchief, can cross an ocean with your simple faith in Hashem. So, the Rebbe also said on the Parshat Tzav in 1981. This teaching about Tzav being the numerical equivalent of these names of Hashem also inspired an understanding of a song that children sing. Children sing, and adults also should sing. Everyone asks Hashem, we want Mashiach now.
Yeah.
Right. So the word now in English is spelled with Hebrew letters Nun, Aleph, and Vav. Nun, Aleph, and Vav is equal to 56. So the word 56, the number of 56 is equal to a names of Hashem as well. If you add together the name Yudke Vavke, which is 26, and you add to that the name, hold on a second, I'm getting it. The name's Kel Havaya. Kel Havaya, Kel is 31, and Havaya is 26. 31 and 26 together is the word for now. So the word in Hebrew that these two names of Hashem equal to, now, has also a deep spiritual significance. The Rebbe said, although he said this on Shushan Purim, it's not a Purim Torah. It's not just a Torah you say on Purim. It's real. People who think it's just a Purim Torah, they should be well. But really, this is real. What's the name Kael mean? The name Kael is about Hashem's kindness, Hashem's sustenance of the world. Hashem is a source of all the things that happen in the world. And the name Kael is about Hashem's kindness and benevolence coming to the world. In the name of Hashem's, in the names of Hashem itself, name Kael is the first of the 30 attributes of mercy of Hashem. So it's a very lofty name of Hashem. It's a very high revelation of Hashem's mercy. It's the very first of the 13 words that describe Hashem's mercy, which Chassidus says are above all the worlds. The name Yudke Vavke, which also is the name of Hashem, has three parts to it. Yudke Vavke means past, present, and future. Yudke Vavke also means creator. So the word Yudke Vavke is about how Hashem creates the world. So Kel Havaya, the connection of Kel Havaya is that all this infinite source of bracha, of blessing that comes from Hashem's kindness, should come down to Havaya, should come down to the physical time and space, should come down to the physical world in time and space. And that's why children, when they ask for Mashiach, they say, we want Mashiach now. Why now? The word now is Kel and Havaya together. The words Kel and Havaya together also equal the word Zon. Zon means to nourish. Like we say in the after blessing, after we eat, we say Hashem feeds the whole world, has Zonos and Kulei, with His goodness, with kindness, with mercy and benevolence. So when the Mashiach will come, every Jew will have all that they need physically and spiritually. Hashem will feed the world and every one of us in a way that's with a great abundance, that there won't be any lack when Mashiach comes. So that's why the word now equals the Kel and Havaya together. Why? Because the coming of Mashiach is a time when Hashem will satisfy all the heart's desires of every single Jew. That's why it's Kel and Havaya. Kel is about the infinite light of Hashem, infinite kindness of Hashem, and Havaya is about how it comes down to time and space. So when children asking they want Mashiach now, they're using the word now, the Rebbe said, by divine providence. Baal Shanta says everything you see or hear is a message from Hashem. The reason they're using the English word now, because that word now is equal to the content and meaning and theme of Mashiach. Mashiach is about the sustenance of Hashem, Hashem's infinite sustenance being given into time, into space, into every Jew, wherever they are, whatever they need. So anyways, now it's Purim. On Purim, the Torah says anyone who opens their hand and asks for something, you have to give him. So Hashem does whatever He tells us to do. We have to open our hand and ask Hashem, do we want Mashiach?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. L'chaim, l'chaim. Frilchen Purim.